Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches. And our last speaker is the great Giles Brandon. MP for Chester, star of Countdown, The One Show. I tried to count up Giles's books this morning. I think there are 48, but I think he might have written one this morning in the evening. But he's a great friend of the Oldie. He's very kind to us. He's our chairman of our judges of the Oldie of the Year, which takes place next February, about the same time as the Oscars, but it's much, much more important than the Oscars. And he's written an extremely moving new book, Somewhere, A Boy and a Bear, The Remarkable Life of A.A. Milne and the Legacy of Winnie the Pooh. Ladies and gentlemen, Giles Brandon.
What a wonderful lunch this is turning out to be. And quite unexpectedly, the brilliance of the speakers has been really nerve-wracking for me. I had no plans at all to read a biography of a man I'd never heard of with a funny name like Asa. Now I've heard Adam, I'm really looking forward to buying his book and reading it. It's a fantastic exposition. Thank you very much, Adam. And I have to tell you, when I'm in the presence of Anne Glenconner, there is for me an erotic charge. I'm not much younger than her, but I would love to aspire to be her toy boy. I want to be the Roddy Llewellyn to her Princess Margaret. I want her in the back seat from the start, and we don't get out of the car ever. She's glorious, and she's given you clearly what you like, which is royal stories about the late Queen. But I'm here to talk about Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne, and Christopher Robin. Is this a challenge for me? No. Because having a conversation once with the late Queen, Elizabeth II, always difficult for somebody like me, who knows nothing about dogs and horses. If you knew about dogs and horses, it was easy to talk to Elizabeth II. They were the passions of her life. She was content to talk about them. That's what she enjoyed talking about. Indeed, as the Duke of Edinburgh once said to me, if it doesn't fart or eat hay, she isn't interested. But on one occasion, I thought, I haven't got any dog stories, any horse stories, but I have got teddy bear stories. And so I said to Her Late Majesty, tell me more about your love of Paddington Bear. And she said, well, to be honest with you, I know people think I adore Paddington Bear, and I do love Paddington Bear, but it's quite a recent fondness, really. I do share the same year of birth as Michael Bond, who created Paddington Bear. We were both born in 1926. But there have been other bears for me, more important ones, before Paddington. I said, oh, can you name one? She said, well, Rupert Bear. I was always very fond of Rupert Bear. I used to have the Rupert Annuals, and I gave them to the Prince of Wales when he was young, and he loved them too. I love the Rupert Bear Annuals. And then I made the mistake of interjecting and saying, you know, Your Majesty, I was rather pleased with this little sally of mine. I said, you know, Your Majesty, there are some people who don't think that Rupert Bear is actually a bear at all. If you look at Rupert Bear, he's got hands with fingers on, and he wears shoes as though he's got feet. A lot of people think that Rupert Bear is actually a boy with a bear's head. And the late Queen looked at me with a beady eye, leant forward and said, there are some things in life I think it's better not to know. And then she told me that the real love of her life when it comes to teddy bears was undoubtedly Winnie the Pooh. And she told me also that the first book ever dedicated to her in 1928 were The Hums of Pooh, a collection of the songs featuring in the Winnie the Pooh stories. And A.A. Milne had written to the Duke and Duchess of York saying, we're publishing this book and we'd like to dedicate it to Princess Elizabeth. May we do so? And they replied saying, yes, delighted. So she said to me, it's the first book dedicated to me and I think still the one of which I am most fond. And indeed it has pride of place in the Royal Library at Windsor, where intriguingly, A.A. Milne's poem Vespers, Little Boy Kneels at the Foot of the Bed, that one, is in Queen Mary's Doll's House, in A.A. Milne's own handwriting. It's one of the books that was given to Queen Mary's Doll's House to put in the library there. Also, in the Royal Library at Windsor, you will find the first Winnie the Pooh tea set. The Duke and Duchess of York, parents of Princess Elizabeth, went to a pottery factory and were presented with the first merchandise of Winnie the Pooh. So there's a cup and a saucer and a teapot and all the rest of it. More intriguingly still, when Elizabeth II got married in 1947, the Archbishop of York, who conducted part of the ceremony and gave the address at the wedding, he gave Princess Elizabeth a copy of When We Were Very Young, the collection of A.A. Milne's poetry, which he told me she had treasured all of her life. But it's an interesting gift for an archbishop to choose to give to a young bride. But he already knew that A.A. Milne was one of her favourite authors. Incidentally, when A.A. Milne 100 years ago, and I'm thinking about 100 years from now, because 100 years ago, that is the year in which Winnie the Pooh was first published, 24th of December 1925, saw the first Winnie the Pooh story being published in the London Evening News. But 100 years ago, A.A. Milne, the creator of Winnie the Pooh and the poems that I mentioned, he was really most famous as a playwright. He was a hugely successful playwright, and he had plays in London and in the West End. He was a novelist, and that's what he was best known for. Then he decided to write this book of poems, When We Were Very Young, that was published in 1924 on the same day as The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Two books published on the same day. And The Great Gatsby did rather well in America. It did very well. Within its first year, it had sold 20,000 copies. When We Are Very Young in America, it was published in October, as I say, 20,000 copies for The Great Gatsby. But When We Were Very Young, that sold 200,000 copies before Christmas, and was then, and remains still, the best-selling book of poetry published after Shakespeare in the history of the world. A.A. Milne is an extraordinary writer, and I've had the privilege of spending a year exploring his life, the difficult relationship with his son, Christopher Robin, who I was lucky enough to know in the 1980s. I wrote a play about Christopher Robin and A.A. Milne and Winnie the Pooh, and it was quite a success. And I got to know Christopher as a result of it. And he very sweetly, when I finished the play and sent it to him, sent me a letter, which I've reproduced in the book, saying, "I think you've got our family just about right." Which is an extraordinary compliment when you discover what a complicated family it was. So I knew Christopher Robin. And incidentally, when I sign the book for you later, and after you've bought Adam's and Anne's, I hope you will buy mine, I'll give you something that they can't give you. I'll give you a handshake, and you will then be shaking the hand that shook the hand that held the paw of the real Winnie the Pooh. Before I go, I just want you to think briefly about childhood, because though my book is the story of this complicated and interesting family, and, you know, it's about Winnie the Pooh and the creation of that, it's really also an exploration of childhood and those enchanted places that we discovered when we were children, either in books or in real life. I was interested that J.V. Milne, the father of A.A. Milne, was born in Jamaica, and I thought there would be an enchanted place there. A.A. Milne loved his childhood. He loved his father. He felt he was beautifully brought up. Childhood for him was until he got to the age of 12. Then, he said, the process, the long process of saying goodbye begins. And he pictured, one stage when he was older, he pictured himself, age 12, suddenly feeling more mature than his own father. And it's a passage that begins, "Farewell, Papa, with your shy, sad heart and your funny little ways." And age 12, he begins to patronise his own father. And that's the long process of saying goodbye. And he says, when you're older, yes, of course you'll get happy. When, you know, he got married, he was happy. He had a successful play in London on Broadway. He was happy. But the pure happiness of childhood is only available to small children. And we went to Jamaica. Oh, we had a memorable time. On the first night before we went to see Clarendon Parish, where the father of A.A. Milne was born, and it was a paradise, it really was. The trees so green, the bark so brown, the flowers incredible colours, the butterflies, just it was an enchanted place. But the night before, we were on the beach outside our hotel, and the sun sets quite quickly on the silver sand, and coming along the beach towards us was this little figure, this little wizened figure, little bento, like a little old lady, came teetering along the beach towards us. This little wizened, bent person came trottering along the beach towards us. It wasn't until we got to about here we realised it was actually Mick Jagger. We were surprised too. But what was more surprising was to find that Mick Jagger was and is a huge fan of A.A. Milne and Winnie the Pooh. And more extraordinary still, the Winnie the Pooh stories were written at Cotchford Farm, near where they lived in Hartfield, in East Sussex. And Mick Jagger turned out to know Cotchford Farm. I said, how come? And he explained, when A.A. Milne's widow died, she sold the farm. And it was bought by Brian Jones, the joint founder of the Rolling Stones. So, yes, there you are. Mick Jagger slept in the room where Winnie the Pooh was written. And you are having lunch in the room where A.A. Milne sat with H.G. Wells on the day in 1902 that he was invited to join and agreed to join this club. So we're in a historic setting. But childhood is important. And that's really what I want to end on. This thought, I do a podcast, some of you may listen to it, called Rosebud, where we talk to famous people about their childhoods and early years. We've done everybody from, I don't know, Judi Dench to Sir Keir Starmer. We've done several former prime ministers. We did John Major recently, a very touching conversation with John Major, where he talked about his parents, and particularly his resentment still that people mocked his father who came from a circus background. He felt patronised by that. But he said, he's 82 now, he said, you know, my parents died 60 years ago, but I can still hear them every day. And he touched his head with two fingers. He said, I can tune into either of them, whichever one I want. When I need them to be there, they're there for me. And he was very lucky. He had a very special childhood. So I wanted you to think about something in just a moment. So I'm going to end in a moment. And then you're going to go and meet us outside. There'll be three of us there. There'll be Adam, who's extremely distinguished, and has written a brilliant book. There'll be Anne, who has met everybody, and is the role model for every older person on the planet Earth. And there's me. The three of us will be sitting in line. And we're not sitting there to be looked at. We're sitting there to sell our books. Why? Because we need the money. Michelle and I, we have three grandchildren. No, seven. We have seven grandchildren. Three children, seven. It's the grandchildren that are way upon us. It's the grandchildren that are way upon us. But ladies and gentlemen, we have seven grandchildren. We are doing our best to help with the grandchildren. Oh, yes, we're contributing to the school fees. This year, ladies and gentlemen, I need to sell 20% more books than I sold last year. Anything you can do to help will be greatly received. But this is the thought I want to leave you with. I've written the biography of A.A. Milne, Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh, but it's a book about childhood, all our childhoods, the special nature of childhood. And what I want you to do as you go home today, on the bus, the tube, by taxi or car, I want you, if you had a happy childhood, to throw back your head, throw your eyes into the air, and say thank you to your parents, your families, your brothers and sisters, who helped give you a happy childhood. And if you didn't, and some people have very difficult childhoods. On our podcast, we recently interviewed Alan Davis, the comedian I know through QI, who was abused by his own father. Some people have horrible childhoods. Most of us, I hope, had a happy childhood. But some people have terrible childhoods. Whatever childhood you had, if it was good, give thanks. And if it wasn't, give thanks to a writer like A.A. Milne. Because in those books, he created something very special, an enchanted place. And you can look at Winnie the Pooh anytime you like. You can just open the pages, and it's a passport to somewhere very special where you can rediscover the pure happiness of childhood. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radio Aldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get three trial issues of the Aldie magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every six issues. Just go to checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter OLD TRIAL as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.